Good morning. This morning I want to talk to you or share with you an article that I read in the last issue of Reader's Digest, a sort of a pick-me-up kind of article. It was in the opinion section. It was adapted from the UK Reader's Digest, and it was, the thoughts are by Matt Ridley. I'm not sure who actually formatted the article, but a man named Matt Ridley is the one whose thoughts are in this article. And the article is called Cheer Up, 17 Reasons It's a Great Time to Be Alive. So already there's a good start to this. And so I want to look at some of these points that he makes here and then try and make some applications in our own lives. So we'll start here. I've picked only a few of them out of 17. We'll bring number one here. He has, we're better off now. Compared with 50 years ago, when I was just 4 years old, the average human now earns nearly 3 times as much money, corrected for inflation, eats 1/3 more calories, buries 2/3 fewer children, and can expect to live longer, In fact, it's hard to find any region of the world that's worse off now than it was then, even though the global population has more than doubled over that period. You know, we don't really know what it's like. Most of us don't really know what it's like to bury children. Because God has allowed us medical advances, we don't have that kind of problems that they had 50 years ago or 100 years ago. We hear stories about, I remember in my history classes, we'd be looking at different presidents, and there's probably quite a few of them that lost children, younger children, through their lives, and they died before they themselves did. I think President Lincoln had a son that died. But we don't know what that's like. Also, the calories. He says that we eat, well, let me see if I can find it here. I just read it. There we go. 1/3 more calories 50 years ago. We eat 1/3 more calories in our days, in our lives today than we did 50 years ago. We don't really have to worry about where our food comes from or if we're going to have food. Most of us, in fact, all of us in this country have access to food. In this country, we have systems that are set up to help those who are underprivileged. You know, it's probably something we've all heard. We've all heard that saying, oh, back in the good old days, you know. And we can, I mean, from these statistics here, we can see that that's simply not true. And also Solomon has something along these lines to say. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Verse 10. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. And this is something that stuck with me. We studied this in a class with Gordon a while ago. And this is one of those things that stuck with me, because this is one of those things that you hear. You hear, oh, back in the good old days. Well, that's simply not true. We can see from these statistics and from the wisdom of Solomon that this isn't true. And another point that he makes in this article, we won't read it, but he uses a citation from the United Nations. I'm not sure what that means, but that's what he says. From the United Nations, I guess the government, they estimate that poverty has been reduced more in the past 50 years than in the previous 500. So just from these things already, we can see, you know, it's a good thing to hear how, you know, to look at the positives of the life today. We hear so many negatives, all the gloom and doom things. And it's nice to look at the positive things that are going on, the blessings that God has given to us. Let's look at another one of his points he makes here. Number 10, population growth is not a threat. Although the world population is growing, the rate of increase has been falling for 50 years. Across the globe, national birth rates are lower now than in 1960. And in the less developed world, the birth rate has approximately halved. This is happening despite people living longer and infant mortality rates dropping. According to an estimate from the United Nations, population will start falling once it peaks at 9.2 billion in 2075, so there's every prospect of feeding the world forever. After all, there are already 7 billion people on the earth, and they are eating better and better every decade. There's a theory that we went over in my geography class. I think it was by Thomas Robert Malthus, that the earth would not be able to sustain its population one day. And yet when you look at the statistics cited here in this article, we're able to feed ourselves more and more all the time. And another similar point going along with this, in his reason number 8, he says that since 1900, the area of crops has increased by 30%, and the percent of the harvests have increased by 600% since 1900. We don't need to worry about where our food is coming from, you know, or whether the world is going to be able to sustain us. God is taking care of these things. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25 beginning. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Again, on that point about population growth, you know, when you have this passage, who cares if the world is not going to sustain itself? We know that if we serve God, we're going to be taken care of. And who's to say that the world even lasts that long? We're told that it's going to burn, the elements will burn with fervent heat. How do we know that that day will even come? My lesson may be short this morning, but I'm going to look at a few more points. Reason number 12. We are the luckiest generation. This generation has experienced more peace, freedom, leisure time, education, medicine, and travel than any in history. Yet it laps up gloom at every opportunity. Consumers do not celebrate their wonderful field of choice, and according to psychologists, say they are overwhelmed. When I go to my local superstore, I do not see people driven to misery by the impossibility of choice. I see people choosing. So, it's an interesting point that he makes there. You know, we're so blessed. We have all these things. And again, we look at the negative things. Why do we look at the negative things? We're surrounded by wonderful blessings that God has given to us, and yet we look at the negative things. That's despicable. There's no reason to look at the negative things. And I really like this article, and I encourage you all to read it. I'll be willing to share it with you. I shared it with my father, and it made him feel better. It's just a good article, and it helps us realize that we are really blessed. Let's see. Let's look over at Ecclesiastes again, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18 beginning. Here's what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink, and to enjoy all the good of all his labor, in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. We see here from the wisdom of Solomon how we are to be towards the gifts that God has given to us. He says to enjoy it, to use it, enjoy it. You know, we just looked at some of the things that we are blessed with in this generation: the medicine, the leisure time. You know, leisure time, that's a big one. How much time do we have to do whatever, you know, our hobbies and our lives? I personally have a whole lot of different likings, and I could be using my time for a number of different things, working or other things, but we have all this leisure time to do whatever we want, and in this country we have the freedoms to do what we want. And Solomon tells us that we should enjoy that time that God has given to us and to use it. Not that we shouldn't be doing things for God, we're supposed to be redeeming the time, but we are to enjoy what God has given to us. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 13, further looking at this idea of contentment. Hebrews chapter 13. Beginning in verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? These verses here kind of address two different ideas that we were looking at. Both contentment, you know, not wanting more and more, but also the idea of not wanting more because we're afraid that we're not going to have enough. Again, we see here that God will take care of us. And then one more verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6 on this point. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. And there's another idea, adding on to this idea of contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's not great gain if we're content with things and we don't have God. It's with God that we have this contentment. That's when it's gain. When we are happy with what we have in the Lord, that is great gain. Now let's look at just one more point here from his article. This one sort of a good summary of the whole article, or the idea of the article. Reason number 17, optimists are right. For 200 years, pessimists have had all the headlines, even though optimists have far more often been right. There is immense vested interest in pessimism. No charity ever raised money by saying things are getting better. No journalist ever got the front page writing a story about how disaster was now less likely. Pressure groups and their customers in the media search even the most cheerful statistics for glimmers of doom. Don't be browbeaten. Dare to be an optimist. We are surrounded again by so many blessings. How can we look at the negative? I don't really watch the news. Some of my friends have gotten on to me about not watching the news, but why? You know, all that's in the news is depressing and sad, and oh, somebody was killed in a car accident. Oh, you know, and maybe at the very end of the news report they'll have, and here we have children, you know, painting little Easter eggs or something. You know, they'll have something nice at the end so that it doesn't leave you with a bad taste in your mouth. But that's all the time the problem. Oh, the economy's bad. Oh, that there's a disaster here. Let's not look at the negative in life. You know, as if the gift of freedom, the hope of heaven wasn't enough, You know, we have all these other things that God has blessed us with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting in verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There's a novel idea. Give thanks. We've been talking about all the blessings that we have, that we've been given by God. Let's give thanks to God for them. We live in a wonderful place, a wonderful world, and even though it's not perfect, it's a good place for us to live until we reach our next destination in heaven. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Rejoice. We've been given all these things. We can rejoice in that. We can be happy. We can be content. And again, that idea that in the Lord we truly have reason to be happy when we are content and we can rejoice, it is in the Lord. And he says, it says that the peace of God will guard our hearts. He'll take care of us. Again, that idea. And then lastly, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. That first verse there in 15, you know, we're supposed to be ready to tell somebody about the hope that is in us. You know, these earthly blessings are nice, but that's not the most important blessing that we have received. As if the blessing of, you know, the hope of heaven wasn't enough, God has given us all these other things on top of that. He's given us those other things on top of Christ's sacrifice. And we should always have that hope of heaven, and be ready to give a defense to those who ask us about it. We should be able to tell them about the hope that is in us. So we've looked at all these things, all the blessings. We know that we have the blessing of Christ. And that's all I have to say this morning, is the main idea. We've been blessed so much in this world, and everybody, all the nations of the world are living better now than they were years ago. So what reason do we have to be depressed? And I'm not talking about the chemical disorders, and you know, some people actually have problems with those things, but just being negative all the time, being depressed. Let's be happy, brethren. Let's be happy. Because of Jesus, we have the hope of heaven. There's no reason not to be happy, even if we didn't have those earthly blessings. So if you're here this morning and you're subject to the call of the gospel, please come forward as we stand and sing.